Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. I have found that in our journey of life, there are some major events which tend to draw family and close friends together, not only for the moment, but for extended times of mutual support or even celebration. I've also found that the anniversaries of those events are remembered for a long time by those most closely touched by those events. What type of events? Weddings, funerals, and births are three of those events. Would you agree? I've been thinking that in some ways Easter weekend was all three of those events with Jesus. Have you considered that? Obviously, the death and burial of Jesus was mourned and honored by his closest friends, and to this day, 2,000 years later, Good Friday is a significant day of remembering Jesus' death and burial almost everywhere around the world. The resurrection of Jesus was new life, something like a birth, and we honor that miracle with Easter every year. Perhaps you know Jesus is called the bridegroom, and those who have trusted him for our salvation are called his bride, as explained in several scriptures, Revelation 19, Matthew 9, Ephesians 5, to name a few. Would you agree that each and every day a Christian lives is a day they can celebrate and honor their King Jesus by living as a faithful bride who honors her husband? Now, can you make the application to your life, and can I to mine? The gospel accounts do not give us a great deal of detail regarding what happened during the week following Resurrection Sunday, or even the full 40 days from the time of Jesus' resurrection till his ascension from the Mount of Olives back to heaven, where he assumed his place of authority at the right hand of God the Father, according to Acts chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 1. But based on what I observe with how we respond to those three great human experiences of birth, death, and weddings, I believe the disciples and the other close friends of Jesus, especially the women who were at the cross when he died, or who came to the tomb that Easter Sunday morning, all of these people who loved Jesus so deeply spent considerable time together in the days immediately following that Easter Sunday. If so, what do you suppose they were doing? I think they did as you and I do in the days after these major personal events. They remembered, and they shared their memories with each other of how the one they loved, Jesus, had impacted their lives. May I ask, how have you been spending the days immediately following this Easter? How often in these days after Easter are you pausing for some quiet time to read the scripture accounts and reflect, and to thank Jesus himself for what he accomplished that weekend for you and the difference that it has made in your life? I have no biblical proof, but I suspect three people in particular spent considerable time together in the days immediately following that Easter Sunday. John, the disciple and good friend of Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene. Each had a special relationship with Jesus. All three stood together at the cross of Jesus as he died, John 19. With almost his dying breaths, Jesus had asked John to care for his mother, Mary. I wonder if on that Wednesday, after Resurrection Day, they were together, reflecting on the profound miracle of his resurrection and each of their relationship with Jesus. Mary Magdalene, you'll remember, had a unique relationship with Jesus because Dr. Luke tells us Jesus had delivered Mary from the strong demonic influence of seven evil spirits, Luke chapter 8. In her gratitude, Mary traveled often with Jesus and the disciples, caring for some of their practical needs, like cooking meals and probably washing their clothes. Mary Magdalene had a very personal encounter with Jesus early that resurrection morning in the garden, very near the tomb. Do you remember? Mary did not recognize the risen Jesus until he spoke her name, John 20. It's not difficult for me to envision John and both Marys sitting at a table sipping tea and reminiscing together only a few days after that incredible Passover weekend of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I have no doubt they desperately wanted to try and fully understand exactly what had happened and then understand what the events of this weekend meant when wrapped with all they had learned from and experienced with Jesus over the past several months. I also have no doubt that frequently in their conversation, Mary, the mother of Jesus, might have said something like this. I've been thinking about something that happened when Jesus was a young lad and how that fits with what we experienced this weekend or what he was teaching when he said, and then Mary would repeat something she or others had heard Jesus say in his times of teaching. In the week leading up to his crucifixion, Jesus had done a tremendous amount of teaching, as recorded especially in Matthew chapter 21 through 25, and of course the upper room with John 13 through 17. I can imagine John and Mary Magdalene would lean forward and listen very closely when Mother Mary would speak about fresh insights into the words or actions of her son Jesus, especially if she recounted anything from his younger years. The disciple John, we know, had a very special relationship with Jesus. As you read through the Gospels, John was never far from Jesus and often walked with or sat close to Jesus. 5 times in the chapters of John's account of Jesus' life, which focus on that Passover weekend and the days which followed, John refers to himself not by his name, but by the phrase, the disciple that Jesus loved. John 13, John 19, John 20, and John 21. Of course, Jesus had said several times that he loved all those who were following him, but John was the only disciple who did not abandon Jesus that Passover Thursday night, and John was the only disciple standing at the cross. John is also the disciple to whom the risen Jesus appeared many years later, giving to John the great vision and teaching of the Revelation, Revelation chapter 1. John was by then an old man and probably the only disciple still alive. I presume Mother Mary may have shared with Mary and John some of her deep reflections this Passover weekend, as now the words of Simeon, spoken when he was dedicating infant Jesus in the temple 30 years before, may have taken on great meaning to Mary. Simeon had said to young Mary, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Luke chapter 2. Oh my, how that prophecy had become true in Jesus' life. King Herod the Great is known for many great accomplishments in Israel, some which even today are still great tourist attractions, like the mountaintop retreat Masada, or the seaside city harbor and palace at Caesarea, or the expansion of the Temple Mount, of which the famous Wailing Wall is a portion still standing today. But isn't it true that King Herod is painfully famous for sending the soldiers to kill all the infant boys in Bethlehem when he heard the Magi were seeking a newborn king of the Jews? Matthew 2. And oh, how the secret thoughts of many were revealed, much to their shame, in their relationship with Jesus. How long had Judas been secretly contemplating betraying Jesus until Jesus suddenly identified Judas as the betrayer in that upper room Passover meal, John 13? And how many of the most revered Pharisee leaders were found to be schemers seeking Jesus' death, while at the same time pretending to be devout spiritual men, John 11, John 12, and Luke 22? Or how about those religious leaders who devised a deceitful plan to try and deny the resurrection by bribing the guards to lie about the disappearance of Jesus' resurrected body? Matthew 28. But oh, the pain dear Mary had experienced during the Passover week before and after, as she watched and reflected on all that was said and done to malign and reject and horrifically abuse and finally kill her son Jesus. Yes, her broken heart felt as though a sword had pierced it, as Simeon had said, many times over the past days. And while the resurrection brought Mary great joy and hope, still those memories hurt her so deeply as she reflected on what her son had experienced. We know that eventually John returned home to Galilee with Mary, Jesus' mother, living in his home, in fulfillment of Jesus' request of John. In fact, historians tell us Mary often traveled with John as he went to various cities, even as far as the Greek city of Ephesus. They told the stories of their unique relationship with Jesus, and they especially gave their eyewitness accounts of that Passover weekend, as they shared the hopeful good news of the resurrected Jesus and a sin-forgiven new life that is possible with the resurrected Jesus. Let's pause here, my friends, and ponder this question. What stories do you have, and do I have, to tell about the unique, special relationship we each have with Jesus? And how what Jesus experienced and accomplished that Passover weekend has impacted our lives 2,000 years later? Have you and I told our children and our grandchildren those stories? Here's a wonderful song to help us consider the power of our stories, and I'll meet you right back here tomorrow.